April 22nd, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 32.
Go home and get your fucking shine box.
Hey, everybody, it's me, the J-Strom. Episode 32 of Nowhere in Mulberry, right here from the pop culture district of Mulberry. Hey, who would have thunk it? To my left, we have Steven. How's it going, Steven?
PCZ Steven.
Yes, pop culture zealot Steven. Where are you this week?
I was still in the Bay Area again.
Ah, okay.
Hello, Frisco.
So anyway, guys, hey, we got Mulberry Bill here. How's it going, Bill?
It's going.
Would you like to explain to the audience where you were last week?
I would like to explain to the audience that if you happen to live anywhere where Altel services your DSL, don't get it. Because it'll be down for a week. I had no internet, and
I couldn't live without
all life. I had was books.
So you're telling me...
Because
just the
read?
Library.
Well, I just don't like a lot of television nowadays, so I rather sit down with a good book. I read three books.
I read
Dark Lord, The Rise of Darth Vader, which was excellent. I finished reading Stephen King's Cell, which also was excellent, and I can't wait till they make a movie out of it,
right.
Preferably with Simon Pegg. I read The Kite Runner.
This company has forced you to read books.
Yes, and I'm not happy about that.
What a colossal ripoff!
And it's a service you pay for, too. That's ridiculous.
$40 a month
to
read
books. Did they give you a deal for this week?
Good Lord.
Yeah, I called and complained this morning, and they said the service would be back up. And it is, thank God. But, they're going to give me a week credit on it.
They better. They should give you a whole month after going that long.
And thankfully, Time Warner Cable has finally moved into my area, so I will be getting Roadrunner Premium here within the next month or so because they have to run a line from the tap at the pole to my house. So.
Sweet. Now, we also have Vanessa here. How's it going, Vanessa?
It's fantabulous.
Everything's perfect with your cable connection, so...
Yes,
don't you
it
feel
is.
Sorry
Thank
for
you.
Bill?
I've gone through what he has.
What's that, huh? You got anything else to say?
Yeah. Now, guys, week after week we ask for feedback and some such like that, but this week we got some voicemail. Let's check it out. What do you guys say? Sounds fantastic, doesn't it?
Hi, I was just listening to number 30, and I was just going to tell you that I do listen to the show and I like it. So,
and you
that's
are
about it. That's all you're asking for, I think, right?
Yes.
Anyway, I will look forward to 31. Bye.
Bye.
Now that's commenting.
What? What did he
what?
Say? Foggy, play that again.
Now that's commenting.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Oh, looks like we got a new
How
drop,
cute.
Sir.
I would like to thank the mystery man for the
yeah.
voicemail.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that, Bill, because we have another mystery caller, and he's called last week. He's called again. Let's check it out.
Hello, folks. This is the mystery caller from last week.
Hello.
Just asking, why do the files have to be so friggin' large? 72 megs big.
All right, I have an explanation.
What's going
please.
On? Haven't you heard of audio compression? real criticism. I like the show a lot, and enjoy listening to the hours and hours of it on my train ride home.
Is that another dig there?
It's on an MP3 player as small as mine. So think about it. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. I have an explanation for this, first of all. Okay. On our last host that we used, I had to really be careful on file size. I had to always shrink our show down to like 48 kilobits because I didn't want it to be too big and cost more bandwidth. But with this new host, I don't have to worry about that, so I've kind of gone hog wild and made the file as big as possible, just kind of like to be at, you know, like, oh man, look how big this show is. Now, here's the problem also that I've been having. When the first couple of shows I put out on our new host, I don't know how many people stream the show on Flash players online.
Poopy player.
Yeah, poo-poo players, whatever, like that. They always come out like we're chipmunks. And 96 kilobits is perfect for it doesn't chipmunk our voices. That's another
chipmunk.
Reason why.
Is that a verb?
Yes. It's another reason why I did that. In fact, if you go like go on our website and like stream episode like 22 or something, it's chipmunked, you know, because that was done in 48 kilobits. So I'm not sure what to do yet, but I'm sorry, sir. I'll figure out something.
Well, maybe somebody can help us.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm putting the call out. And by the way, this show will be longer than any of our other shows, so you're looking at 100, maybe a gig show. So, but actually, he left us another voicemail. Apparently, he realized something and called back. Let's hear what he says.
By the way, the first Dick, or I should say the first Darren, was Dick York, not Dick Sargent.
Yeah.
Dick York, the pill-popping, painkiller-addicted Darren, who got fired for being in a state of narcosis most of the time, as opposed to the ambiguously gay Dick Sargent.
Dick Sargent.
Who was the replacement.
Think he's calling you out, PCZ Steven.
That we all came to know and love, and apparently you're a big fan of.
Oh, hey, he's a little sarcastic there.
You know, I always loved watching the Bewitched reruns on, you know, syndicated TV when I was a kid, and I know that. Steven, you should be ashamed of yourself.
I know.
Yeah.
And Dick York was the best.
Yeah, he was.
Dick Sargent sucked.
Dick.
Yeah, Dick.
Dick.
Thanks for the clarification.
Now, Steven, you admit
Dick
that you
York
were wrong
is,
there?
Was the first one, yes.
I mean, Steven travels a lot. He's got mental problems, just all that kind of stuff. Yeah.
It's a sleep apnea.
It's a jet lag.
Dick.
Tourette's.
Yeah, I'm just commenting on, I'm trying to defend you. Now, guys, before we move on, I can't wait till news to talk about this. I don't know if you guys can, but a certain couple has had a baby. Well, first of all, okay, this clip is from the Today Show, and there's nothing I hate more than smug guys when they're doing their stories. Just listen to the smugness in this guy's voice. He's so proud of himself.
Hey, moms, welcome their new baby girl.
On the same day, Brooke Shields and her husband also welcome a little girl.
You know, you couldn't make these things up. Who'd believe you that Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise would have their baby girl on the same day as Brooke Shields gave birth to her baby girl? Of course, this was a delicious coincidence, only if you've been paying proper attention. Here's a brief review. Brooke Shields writes a book about postpartum depression, praising antidepressants that helped her out of hers.
I mean, my hormones and my body, it was out of my control.
And Tom, after announcing his love for Katie, in a Scientology condemnation of antidepressants, goes after Brooke Shields through Matt Lauer.
She doesn't understand the history of psychiatry.
And then Brooke calls that a disservice to mothers. Before Brooke retired to a comparatively quiet pregnancy, well, the now uber-famous Tom and Katie, telling everyone they're planning a quiet birth as encouraged by Scientology, dodged Eker paparazzi darn near everywhere. Then, the announcement practically shrieked with exclamation points.
The Tom Kitten has arrived. The quiet birth heard round the world. Baby.
And within a minute,
the Tom
Suri,
Kitten,
Hebrew for princess, Persian for red rose, was a famous name too. Breathless stuff. Breathless. But the quieter birth goes to Brooke Shields
Steven,
with
you
her
talk
new daughter,
like
Greer Hammond Henchy. A publicist politely refused
my
to confirm
shit
where
doesn't
that
stink.
I was kind of
everybody knew that both girls were 7 pounds. Well, all right, Katie's was 7.5. And both were 20 inches long, and, well, somehow those things
seem
to matter at the moment. It's just a guess that Brooke Shields and Tom Cruise might not choose ever again to be
Tom
mentioned.
Tom Cruise's in the same baby sentence. Is taller than he is.
They have a way of revising things, don't they? For today, Keith Morrison, NBC News, Los Angeles.
Oh, Keith. Is Keith Morrison like the new Andy? What's his name on 60 Minutes?
Andy Rooney.
Andy Rooney.
No, he. You know what he is? He's the new Snagglepuss. That's who he reminds me of when he talks.
He doesn't sound anything like Snagglepuss.
He vanished into skinny air.
But I was sitting there watching that story. I was like, dude, I can't even do an impression of the guy. It's like,
yeah, he just has a very self-important air about him. Skinny air.
He vanished into skinny air. What are you gonna say,
Dick?
Tom
King. All right, guys, let's do some entertainment. All right, guys, before we get into our favorite TV shows like we always do on our TiVos, let's talk about a couple of new movies that came out.
Can I ask a question first?
Yes, sir.
This Tom Kitten, now that it's born, does it get, like, automatic OT status?
You know, I wonder that, too. I mean, basically...
I'm sure Tom Cruise's adopted children didn't. They have to work at it and pay.
I mean,
but does this child get like OT3 instantly?
No, you're born with thetans, dude.
I think he's got to go through the trials first because his dad is a thetan knight, but he still has to be trained and then go through the trials first.
So are these Scientology trials like the Jedi trials?
Yes, something we'll never see in any of the movies. Yes, if that's what you mean. These trials you speak of, have you gone beyond that idea? No, not really. Let's just move on.
I'm sorry, it's all this extended universe Star Wars books I'm reading.
Yeah, you know,
like the,
what I want to know is how annoying would it be? You're 16, you're in school, and everyone's still referring to you as Tom Kitten. You know, hey, you're the Tom Kitten. It's like, my name is Siri. How hard is it to
name is Suri?
That's who somebody terrible. Else named their kid, the Sari. Who did that?
Gwyneth Paltrow's new kid was supposed to be named Mortimer, but they changed it to Moses because he was
both
born during Passover.
Because he was born with a beard, a long beard.
Yes, and a cane, and he could separate water.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's in the Bible.
Yes, it is, Foggy. All right, guys. Last week I said that we were going to go see Silent Hill and then review it. Of course, we haven't seen the movie like every week. We never watch movies.
I'm going tomorrow to see it.
But you know,
I have it downloading currently.
Ooh, all right.
But, what kind of reviews did it get anyway?
It's been about 50-50. Some people get it, some people don't. The main thing I hear across the board, though, is that the production values are amazing.
Oh,
the
really?
Look of the film is incredible. And they even got the guy who does the music to the video games, the Silent Hill video, does the music to the movie.
Awesome.
It has the whole atmosphere of the games intact. Mainly people are complaining about is that they don't understand what the hell the movie's about.
Kind of like first Silent Hill, nobody could understand what the hell is going on.
Truthfully, yeah. I would say most people are ambivalent about it because they're like, yeah, this movie's really interesting, but it's one thing I'm sick of seeing is it's a surrealist nightmare. It's like, you got anything else in that little book of knowledge you got? No, that's it. That's all
Come
I got.
What other book of cliches there?
Yeah. Let's check out a clip to Silent Hill, and you get an idea of how kind of weird and atmospheric it is.
What?
I don't know what's happening. Do you know what's going on here? My daughter. I'm looking for my daughter. I'm afraid that she's been hurt.
We've all lost our children. Our light.
This is my daughter, Sharon. She sleepwalks, so you have to be careful. But if you see her,
Please, tell her to wait for me.
Yes. She's mine.
It's mine.
It's mine.
It's mine.
Yes.
It's mine!
Get off me!
Into the fire she swallowed their hate.
I don't
Say
know
again, you're a little breathy.
Yeah. Creepy. I don't know about you guys, but my heart is racing after that.
But so have, creepy.
Is it, I don't know, Jason, you only played the first game, right?
I played the first game, I played a little of the second, but I've watched, I've seen bits of the other ones.
Well, you remember Pyramid Head?
Yes.
Is that in the movie too?
Yes.
Yes.
Pyramid Head is
awesome.
In the movie.
That part creeped me out.
And you know what? One of the main comments I've heard is people are like, Pyramid is the scariest crap they've ever seen.
You're in a room, all you have is your flashlight. So all you can see is the light from this flashlight. And all of a sudden you hear this dragging noise because he drags this gigantic blade on the ground, kind of like the Clock Tower games. And it's this, and you hear it coming, and you know you better run, but you can't tell which way it's coming from.
Right.
So you might run right into him, and that thing is creepy.
So I think they've definitely captured the essence of the game, and it sounds like some complaints I've read that they borrow elements from all the games, but it makes it incoherent. So we'll see what goes on with that. I can't wait to see it. Still, I'm going to see this in the theater.
Me too.
No one can stop me.
Dick.
But anyway, another movie that came out last week was The Sentinel with Michael Douglas and
Saggy
Kiefer
butt.
Sutherland. Yeah, Saggy Butt. And
That's
I have
right.
a clip of this, and let's check it out, starring Jack Bauer.
Stop the car! Move over. I need to get to Shinjuku.
Again, this car?
Shinjuku. This way?
Hi,
Shinjuku.
Mama,
so goodbye
for the long day. Where should it be?
I need your phone to call Tony Alameda.
Ben.
Yeah. Gear
time balance.
Calorie mate. Calorie mate.
So anyway, that's The Sentinel. It looked pretty good.
Right?
No, in all seriousness, that's a that's an ad Bill showed me that Kiefer Sutherland's been doing these Japanese ads for this Calorie Mate bar, like energy
which
bar.
Which looks like a pressed turd.
Yeah, and you eat it for energy. And there's these incomprehensible Japanese commercials where he's Jack Bauer munching on this bar while like running through crowds of people yelling. And none of the commercials make like any sense. And I realized the other night on 24, Jack Bauer always carries that little duffel bag. That's what it's filled with. It's filled with Calorie Mate bars. That's how he keeps on going, you guys.
Duffel bag. It's a messenger bag.
Yeah.
We got to get some of those imported in.
It's a man bag. It's a man purse.
Every time I hear Calorie Mate, I know you're the video game geek in me, but I think of Metal Gear. So
yeah, Metal Gear. Calorie Mate was in Metal Gear,
Snake
too.
Eater. It was in.
It's like one of those things in Japan that's like, oh, Calorie Mate. I think it's everywhere. Billboards, everything. It's... So anyway, you know, on a serious note, guys, there's a new film coming out called United 93. Everyone's heard of this, right?
Yes.
It's directed by Paul Greengrass, who I think is an incredible director.
He really is.
I've only seen one film by him, The Bourne Supremacy. I haven't seen his other film you're talking about, Bill, which was called...
Yeah, Bloody Sunday. You have to see Bloody Sunday.
But you can tell
it's incredible.
The guy's got a lot of talent. Now, this movie is very controversial because it's about the flight... on 9/11 that did not hit the tower. It was the people who decided to keep the terrorist from flying the plane.
Wasn't it supposed to go into the White House? Is that the plane that was supposed to go to the White House?
No, it was supposed to hit the Capitol.
Capitol, okay.
Right. And
again, that's all, you know, rumor, conjecture, speculation, yeah.
I think a lot of the movie is inspired by events. They got some idea of the gist of what was going on, I believe, from the passengers calling their loved ones and saying goodbye to them. You know, really sad stuff.
Yeah, also each actor actually spent time with the families of the people that were on the plane.
One thing
so
you
they
can
really
tell,
got to know these people.
Right. One thing you can tell when you watch the trailer to it, they're not trying to do a cheap, shoddy, like, hey, let's... It looks like they're trying to be as faithful as possible as to what happened. Some people are very upset by this because they're not ready for it.
And that's the greatness of Paul Greengrass's style with this. With Bloody Sunday, he did a very documentarian style to it. It was like you were right in the middle of it. Right. And I have a few, it looks like he went to that same style with this and kind of perfected it.
One thing I noticed from the trailer is it makes your heart race because you know what's going to happen. It, I mean, the trailer affected me in a way, not where, oh, I can't watch this, it'll be too horrible. I'm from another school of thought where, like, some people who watched movies like Schindler's List or Saving Private Ryan that depict very violent things that really happened, you know, they're like, yeah, oh, I can't watch that, that's just horrible. But I'm from the school of thought that I need to watch this because I owe that much to those people who, you know, real people went through this stuff.
Right.
You know, I should watch it. I should see what they went through. I can handle it. I mean, they died. I mean,
yeah, it's one of those things. I know what you're saying. It's like you want to see it.
I almost
but
feel
you
like
you dread watching it because you know what's going
to
happen.
I almost
you know
feel like happened. I can't not watch it. I've got to.
Yeah.
And here's the trailer, and then we'll talk about it afterwards.
We are going to go over to Chris and talk about the forecast, which is a very good one.
Yeah, actually, conducive to just heading out and enjoying a day. Neighborhood weather added.
Hey, this is Sandy in the back. Can you call ground and see if we can get some more pillows and blankets?
The white zone is for immediate.
The meeting last night was great.
I'm sure he's thrilled.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin boarding. For all of our first class passengers, please make their way over to gate 17.
Good morning, okay. Sir. You've just made it. 4D?
Ladies and gentlemen, looks like we've run into a little bit of rush hour traffic this morning. Unfortunately, it's going to be about a 30-minute delay. I appreciate your patience. We're currently number one for departure. Flight attendants, prepare for takeoff, please.
I'd like to be home with my babies.
United 93, runway 4 left, clear for takeoff.
Roger that.
Sir. CNN's reporting a light civil aircraft has just hit the World Trade Center.
Man, that's a lot of smoke.
We got another one.
We got another hijack.
United 175 dropped his transponder off.
We got a possible hijack.
Weapons.
Scramble those fighters in over Manhattan.
Copy that.
We've reached our cruising altitude of 35,000 feet, and I'm going to turn the fasten seatbelt sign off. You are safe to move about the cabin.
Descending rapidly.
This aircraft is going down, I'm telling you right now.
Here's one with juice for you.
No, there he is. There he is right there.
We're going up the Hudson River.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, this is a hijack. He's going to hit this guy.
Oh! Look at that.
Oh, my gosh.
Two aircraft hit the World Trade Center. Just left Newark. The weather was beautiful.
There it goes!
We have a plane headed toward the Capitol.
What the hell is wrong out there?
May we engage, sir?
I am on a plane that has been hijacked.
Yes, sir. I got F-16 turning and burning towards Washington.
Two planes just hit the World Trade Center.
Nobody's going to help us.
We have to do something right now.
Arnold, I need rules of engagement. Do we shoot this flight down?
We have to do it now, because we know what happens if we just sit here and do nothing.
They're not making the incident cheap in any way. It looks like they're trying to be faithful to what happened.
It right. gives you chills.
Yeah, it does, because it really happened.
I mean,
and it doesn't doesn't look phony.
If anybody remembers sitting home watching.
Right.
I mean, because that just made me sit back and remember.
Now, do you think you could sit through this movie? Or do you think you're... I mean, some people are like, I'm not ready for this yet. Maybe longer.
They may never be, though.
I don't know, because I've watched a lot of stuff
documentaries
about it,
and stuff.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know if that I would have a problem going and seeing it.
I am ready to see it.
I think I would be okay with it.
I'll be there.
Yeah, I'm ready to see it.
And I think like 10% of the profit is going to the memorial
right.
for Flight 93. So, you know, it's only, you know.
I hope the movie's good. It's one of those things where it's hard to look at a movie like this unbiased in a way because you've already kind of got your idea. There's a tricky line that you can cross where you're manipulating the audience, and I hope this doesn't do that.
Yeah, that's why I really hate recent Steven Spielberg films, because he does that. He does that
like
that
the
manipulation.
Terminal.
Well, it's like, oh God!
Well, I mean, don't even, you know. with this thing, you know,
even with Saving Private Ryan, it was manipulative.
But I loved Saving Private Ryan, so. I
loved it too, but it was very manipulative.
you know,
right.
sitting
still. I'd really be happy to know how much of this really happened and how much they made up. But, you know, that doesn't matter if it's an effective film. It pretty much, you know, gives you an idea of what these people went through. And
they've gone through the unedited, you know, boxes, the black boxes and all that. And they've got a lot of audio that we haven't heard.
Right.
Yeah.
That they just don't want to release, and you know, I think they pretty much know exactly what went down.
People choose, like, if I was going to go see this, my wife is like, I'm not ready to see that. I'm not going to go, come on, what's it, I totally respect
people's
wishes.
Yeah, if you're not ready, you're not ready.
You know, some people are like, why would you do that? Don't make this movie.
Yeah,
it's like, no, you don't have to see it, but yes, the movie can be made. It's okay if it's made. It's all right for us to reflect back on it.
I mean, pretty much most people who don't fly all the time are not going to realize, don't think about it, because
right.
every time I go to the airport, have to take off my shoes, anything can happen.
All right, well, let's go ahead and move on to lighter subjects. It's good to talk serious for a bit. All right, guys. Recently, Kiefer Sutherland was on Jay Leno. That's right. It's the Kiefer Show. Jack Bauer.
Oh, gosh. Don't do
it. Jack Bauer. What are you doing? Let's see. Let's see what Kiefer did on old Leno.
Like, what's relatively nice, Jack?
Drop the gun.
Oh, that's it. Drop the gun. Okay.
Moderately riled.
Drop the gun.
Drop the gun!
Was that shouty Jack or enraged Jack?
That was a mixture of both.
Okay. And this Lackland, apoplectic Jack.
Drop the gun.
I think that was gay Jack.
Yeah, it made a joke.
Man, so funny. Yeah, so original.
I got a gigantism in my jaw.
Dick. Let's go to the old lady and then go out on the street and ask stupid questions. Yeah.
Dick.
Speaking of Dick, a new episode of Blowout. Let's check it out. What do you guys say? Now, before I move on, let me set this up. Jonathan is in a mall in Hawaii presenting his new shower head he designed. This is greatness. Let's check it out.
Aloha! Join me in helping to welcome Jonathan Anton with a beautiful Aloha Jonathan. Aloha. All right, here's Jonathan.
Oh, that's heavy.
It's like I'm ready to sing a song. Woo! Oh my God. Look at all of you wonderful people.
All 60 of you.
Whoa.
My gosh.
Hello? First of all, thank you so much. And now I'm going to get really hot. All this sweating, just a wee bit dizzy up here. This is what happens when you're not a performer. All of a sudden, you start looking around. You're just like, okay, am I about to pass out in front of all these people?
Have you ever heard of bombing on stage?
Yeah.
He's worse than Corey Kahaney.
He's in a game.
Like Elvis up here, right? You guys remember that last Hawaii? Wasn't it here? Like walking around.
What the hell is he talking about?
I don't know.
Shampoo.
The last Hawaii?
Create and then finish. Those are the four
major food groups
that I go through in my plan of action. And when you're at home, you look in the mirror. You see what your hair is telling you. Your hair will be telling you if it needs a little more volume or a little more moisture.
So I pulled myself out of this sort of dizzy spell. I just snapped out of it.
got it together, focused on the hair.
Bang.
And, you know, the show must go on, and that was it.
A lot of beauty editors call me and say, what's the trend? What's the new trend? And I usually come back with, what's the new trend? What looks best on each individual?
We're taking center stage and doing a huge hair show.
This is painful.
To carry my message of great.
Spreading the news about hair.
Beauty water.
We recommend washing our hair every day.
If you want to shampoo every day, you can shampoo.
People
every
are asking this numbnuts questions.
We're going to be in Sephora after this.
How do I get Bing in hair, Jonathan?
I've been here for a while.
Like Bing Ladesh.
Support.
Can I wash
again,
my hair every day?
Thank you very much. And
yes,
aloha.
If you pay $95 for my purification system.
Thank you, everyone.
Oh, man, he delivers the goods every week. This guy's a genius. Man, it's horrible. Jesus.
Oh, my I love that God. He names his stuff Jonathan Product.
Yeah, everything what? Is like Jonathan something.
I love yeah. his name.
Hello?
All right. Now, usually we talk about Smallville here, but I didn't watch Smallville yet.
Good.
Have you guys?
Thank God.
Yeah, I didn't watch it either.
I do have a clip of Smallville, which was
great.
Everything I saw of it, it looks like they're ripping off Saw, but see if you can tell what the hell's going on in this clip of Smallville this week.
Is there a roller coaster?
There's stuff happening. Super stuff. Man, I'm sorry I missed it. It sounds pretty good. Alright, here's what happened on 24.
He's shutting the need.
Yes?
It's me.
Is Bauer dead?
Not yet, Mr. President.
Your move, creep.
Bauer triggered the bank alarm. Authorities came before my men could get to him. Bauer used the cover of the firefight to slip away.
He has a recording?
Yes, sir.
That evidence directly implicates me in David Palmer's death.
Only if it gets to someone who can do something about it. We'll have Bauer before that happens.
How?
Mr. President, you've established direct control over CTU, and CTU is heading up the search effort for Bauer.
Putting an awful lot of
he's got to explain to him
the
why.
The city is locked down. CTU will find Bauer, and when they do, make sure you're the first to know so my men can intercept.
Your move, creep.
Well, what was great in this is William Devane comes back, right?
And everyone loves William Devane.
And they get, you know, they have this thing, this cassette tape, or his digital recorder, basically proving the president's this horrible guy, right? But then all of a sudden he's like, wait, Jack, and he punches him in the throat, and he's like, that's not a good idea. You'll bring down the presidency. How about I go present him with this and get him to resign? And if I was Jack Bauer, I'd go, okay, but did you have to punch me in the throat? Did the throat punching seem necessary?
You dick!
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of dicky.
Dick.
Exactly. Now, what happens is, of course, he goes and he threatens the president. And, you know, of course, Robocop, he's like, hey, don't worry about it. If we get the disc, if we get the recording, it won't matter, right? The part where Jack burns off his...
zip tie.
Yeah, the zip tie with the hot pipe. Yeah, but there's this great scene where he cuts Audrey's artery and she's bleeding everywhere. And he'll trade the recording for Audrey. And here's what happens.
She's running out of time!
Don't do it, Jack. Don't. Don't give it to him.
Here it is!
Whoa.
Jesus Christ!
God!
She's laying there bleeding to death, and he goes, I'll be right back. And I was like, dude.
Yeah, I thought that too. I thought he was
going to bleed to death. Where are you going?
I thought he was going to chase after him. And I was like, dude, her artery's cut.
Then he cuts that wire off the forklift. And I was like, oh, okay. I thought he was going to get some nuke to shoot.
And then Peter Weller calls the president right as he's about to resign. He's like, got the recording. Don't worry about it. And he's like, Heller, I'm going to ask for your resignation, bitch.
Well, not quite like that, but something like that.
Right.
And then the vice president's in there looking like a deer in the headlights.
There was the whole bit with his wife was going to talk to Aaron, but Aaron disappears. What happened to him? Do you guys remember that? She just finds a cell phone on the ground.
Dead. I think maybe he gets killed.
Poor guy. We love Aaron. He's been on like every season. I hope he's okay. But I can't wait to see what happens next week. All right, guys. Alias returned this week. Believe it or not, I shit you not. Alias is back. Here's a clip.
This is Field Agent ID. Black 793 Sierra confirmation. Mr. Bristow.
I just recovered a field transmission. It's from Sydney. Where is she? Okay, here we go.
Field agent ID, Black 793 Sierra confirmation,
Foxtrot.
She keeps
saying the F word. Foxtrot.
Repeat, confirmation, Foxtrot 1, status MIA. I'm being held aboard a cargo freighter, registry unknown. Do it.
Happened.
Oh no.
Reroute the subsystems, Marshall. Marshall did it first before Chloe ever did it.
Search and find her.
Am I right?
Yes. It's got 512-bit encryption.
Yeah. Like, what was that all about? Hasn't he heard of compression?
Wait a minute. You know what? You're being deleted. This doesn't make any sense. It's like someone just wiped out the archive.
Marshall, what archive?
They're in a hurry.
Wait a minute.
Vanessa, they're in a hurry. It's very important.
This must be wrong.
This is no laughing matter.
So wrong.
Exactly. Alias is back. Catch more next week. It was great.
Two hours flew by, and the cliffhanger at the end just made me like giddy like a schoolgirl.
Well, I was kind of like, huh? Because what happens is, can I go ahead and spoiler alert here?
Spoil that bitch, yo!
Do you mind, Steven, if I spoil it?
Spoil it.
Michael Vaughn is alive.
Right.
He's living with some guys in Bhutan. Is that where it was?
I bet he
is. Tibetan monks or something.
Yeah, when all of a sudden at the end, this guy was riding on a horse. My wife goes, is that Vaughn? And I said, that looks like some kind of samurai or something. I don't know what the hell is going
on. It's Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Yeah, it was Tom Cruise, wasn't it?
But we're just Scientologists.
It's great to have... I don't think we should get into all what Alias is about. Her mom returns. Sydney has her baby. There's something called the Horizon that everyone wants. Most likely having something to do with Rimbaldi. Michael Vaughn returns.
I think it has to do with Verizon.
Yeah.
It's for better cell signals.
Yes. And that has something to do with Rimbaldi. Cellular phones in general, that whole technology. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, whatever. But anyway, I'm glad to have Alias back. And the whole time I was watching this, I was kind of disappointed too, knowing it's the end. Am I going to feel like that every consecutive episode until
it's
over?
Oh, and then there was that little thing with the...
Yeah, Balthazar
Getty. Going to that guy that supposedly killed his wife and saying, I need to get a message to the cardinal. So
yeah, who's
little...
the cardinal?
Yeah.
Is he talking about, like, the Catholic Church, or...
Uh-oh.
Very interesting. We'll see in coming weeks. But, man, it was great to have Alias back.
Yeah, and there's a really terrific article in Entertainment Weekly, either this week or last week, where they talked to the showrunner, and they also talked to J.J. Abrams about what was great and what went wrong, and it's just a really good little article that any fan should read.
Alias. Okay, wait, let me work out. Something's wrong with my mic.
Hello?
That's my favorite one. Hello? It's like, dude, your mic's working. You're just not saying anything.
Yeah, he's waiting for, like, people to cheer for him or something.
Vanessa, you ready to do the news?
of you wonderful people.
Yes, all of us wonderful people. All right, Vanessa, what do you got in the news this week?
All right, once NBC saw that viewers didn't have a taste for Celebrity Cooking Showdown, the network immediately lost its appetite. NBC yanked the remaining two episodes of its culinary boot camp for celebs from its primetime schedule and made what's supposed to be Thursday's show available for web viewing on NBC.com instead.
That's hilarious.
Oh, I know. Man, they got the same treatment as Book of Daniel.
Yeah, it's like, hey, here's an idea. Why don't we cancel your show and go watch it on your computer. It's like, why don't you find out who won your stupid contest? Let's see if Cindy Margolis won or whoever.
That's the ultimate slap in the face.
If you're going to call a show celebrity anything, here's an idea. Have celebrities. It doesn't count if they're soap actors. It doesn't count if they have a website. Hey, that makes me a celebrity. Ooh, let me go make a sandwich on TV. It's nothing. It sucks.
Most downloaded woman like 10 years ago?
Yeah.
The promising pair of celebrity with an expert premise has worked out nicely on shows such as ABC's Dancing with the Stars, which picked up an 18.6 million audience.
Well, that's the problem. They didn't dance. They made sandwiches.
Yeah,
nobody
skating
cares
with celebrities.
What food they're making.
Yeah.
Skating with
Damn,
celebrities.
Dude. Look at that chunk, dude.
A chunk of brisket.
Skating with Celebrities got 11.4 million viewers on average. But the week-long cooking series even failed to grab an 8.2 million strong Epicureans who took it for a taste test on Monday.
Ouch.
By Tuesday, the ratings were in the garbage along with eggshells as viewership dipped to 3.3 million. Damn.
Oh. Wow.
Another handful tuned in Wednesday, but the 4.8 million viewers were not enough to entice the network to stick to its original plan.
So it dropped to less than half of what it had the first night on second night.
That's pretty fabulous.
Wow.
Of course, they're like, we don't know why it failed. We had Wolfgang Puck, Govind Armstrong, Kat Cora, and they were the experts.
They cook food. They don't make TV shows.
Exactly. But they're saying that the only piece of advice we can offer to make NBC's next venture as successful as the dancing and skating on other networks is more sequins.
Well, did anyone watch any of the cooking shows?
No, I watch food TV. I'm not going to watch it on NBC.
Well, they do like a little timer, and they give you like 3 minutes to start working on something, and you got to go pick a chef to help you figure it out.
So it's Iron Chef.
Right.
If I want to watch Iron Chef, I'll watch Iron Chef.
It's Iron Chef with half-ass celebrities, and you know what their main... This is where they dropped the gun. I mean, they really just screwed up. No Mark Dacascos.
Drop the gun.
Oh.
They didn't have
a chairman?
No, they didn't.
They would get wash-ups on there.
Did they have an unveiling of the main ingredient?
I don't know.
It was sort
of. Did anybody scream a la cuisine?
Scream a bell. All
right, Vanessa, what else you got?
All right, in Tokyo, a woman who made herself a minor celebrity in Japan by constantly screaming insults at passersby and blaring out music while beating bedding on her balcony was sentenced to a year in jail for causing physical harm. Miyoko Kiwahara, 59, kept up the assault on her neighbor's eardrums daily over a period of 2.5 years, forcing at least one nearby resident to seek treatment for insomnia and headaches.
Screw this small judo man!
A court in the western Japanese city of Nara sentenced the woman who became nationally known as Mrs. Noisy to a year in prison, saying she had shown no repentance for her actions. Kawahara is likely to be released in about 3 months after consideration for time already served. I am worried about what will happen when she comes back, one neighbor told the reporters outside the court. So this is this woman's... she likes to make noise? I mean, I don't get it.
Chunk funk.
Obviously she needs some...
That's totally racist, Jonathan. She already called that lady.
All right, Colin Farrell has succeeded in keeping his parts private. The actor and his girlfriend, Nicole Narain, reached an amicable settlement in their legal battle over a sex tape that they made together 3 years ago. Bad news, sex tape is always involved. We were able to completely resolve it. The terms are confidential. Farrell sued Narain, a one-time Playboy playmate last year, accusing her of trying to peddle the tape through a third party despite a prior agreement the footage was for private viewing only. He demanded general and compensatory damages, as well as the return of all copies of the tape to his possession. A tape subsequently issued an injunction blocking Narain from distributing the tape, but that didn't stop footage culled from the mattress romp from making a brief online appearance in January.
Brief, it's still there.
Is it?
You can find it anywhere. And you know what? This guy should let that thing get out, because he should be so incredibly proud of himself. Because the man has a... The thing points towards a completely different direction. It's so huge. And it makes me hate him more. Hey, I'm a historian of ass. The chick is hot, though.
Does he have a saggy butt like Michael Douglas?
Oh,
I don't know.
Really? I don't care about size. Honestly, it doesn't matter. Every time you hear about any kind of scandal like this, it always seems to involve a sex tape. When are people going to learn?
Let's go.
They're not going to learn because it's easy publicity.
True. Very
well,
true.
I mean, Paris Hilton would have never gotten famous if that thing didn't get out.
Why don't they get... They ought to do a reality show like that, where celebrities make their own sex tapes. You place it somewhere, just set it down on the table and hope somebody takes it. Whichever one gets out first on the internet and all over the news, they win the reality show. What do you guys think?
All right, she's got a great body! She makes me want to buy rubbers.
Excellent drop. Excellent.
All right, go ahead, Vanessa.
Sexually explicit jokes and off-color language by writers of the hit TV comedy series Friends did not create a hostile work environment. The California Supreme Court ruled on Thursday. The ruling by the state's high court upheld a lower court decision throwing out the sexual harassment claim brought by former writers' assistants Amani Lyle against writers and producers of the NBC sitcom. Because Friends was an adult-oriented comedy show featuring sexual themes, Lyle should have expected coarse language from writers producing shows and scripts for the show, the Supreme Court held in its ruling. While the Fair Employment and Housing Act prohibits conduct that creates a hostile or abusive workplace for women, it does not outlaw sexually coarse and vulgar language that merely just offends. The court case raised questions of how far TV comedy writers can go in pushing the boundaries of taste in their private joke writing sessions.
Tax dollars pay for this?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wait, for them writing the show or for the case?
The case.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
It's an important case.
Somebody needs to go to that writer's assistant and friggin' make her run the tube sock gauntlet.
Yeah, she didn't seem to mind. She didn't seem to mind as she was cashing the paycheck, but it's after the show ends, that's when she has a problem.
Who was? Was it Joey? I'm thinking it was Joey. With his
how
you
doing?
Doing?
How you doing? No, it was David Swimmer.
Well, the show's writers claimed that Lyle was fired because she was a slow typist who often missed the joke she was supposed to transcribe. So she was fired anyway, so I bet you this was just her way of getting back at them. But
she was fired for being incompetent.
Yeah, but you know, that's, I bet you anything, if she wouldn't have been fired, she would have never brought that loss. Scorned. All right, here, this is a story for Bill. A 76-year-old man claiming to be a doctor went door-to-door in a Florida neighborhood offering free breast exams and was... One woman became suspicious after the man asked her to remove all of her clothes and began conducting a purported genital exam without donning rubber gloves.
Damn you, Mulberry Bill!
The woman, maybe it was Jean, the woman then phoned the Broward County Sheriff's Office and the suspect fled. He was arrested at another woman's apartment in the same Lauderdale Lakes neighborhood on Wednesday. The white-haired suspect, Philip Winnikoff, carried a black bag and claimed to be visiting on behalf of a local hospital. He told the women that he was in the neighborhood offering free breast exams, the sheriff said. At least two women, both in their 30s, let him into their homes, and he fondled and sexually assaulted him. Of course, you know, he's not a doctor. He was a shuttle driver for an auto dealership.
He's a genius, is what he is.
Who's stupid enough? I mean, come on. That's so stupid. Those women deserve it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this is a breast exam, but I think there might be something with your vajayjay. So let me get down there.
Vajayjay Abrams?
Don't you need some gloves?
Vajayjay Abrams.
No, I don't need any gloves.
Genius.
Absolutely hilarious.
Who could be stupid? I'm sorry. That is just... They fell for it. How could a doctor travels door to door asking women to give him a breast exam and they didn't...
Hey, Peter.
Yeah.
Watch out for your cornhole, bud.
Oh, Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, man. We're just giddy now.
Jesus Christ.
All right,
right, Vanessa, what else you got?
That's all I've got.
All right, well, thanks for doing that. All right, let's mosey on down to the entertainment room, and let's see what DVDs we got.
Ow! There we go.
All right, Bill, what do we got in the DVDs?
Time for the DVDs. Let's watch some DVDs.
All
right. All right.
Hello?
You...
Look at all of you wonderful people.
Oh, wait, Bill, I almost forgot about this.
Phil?
No, I said Bill. I forgot about Tom Cruise clip I had of him talking about Scientology. Let's listen to that for a second.
In Scientology, is there a baptism?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Actual baptism?
Yes, it's a golden shower.
There's a naming service.
Will there be a Catholic baptism, too?
No.
Who is this lady? I baptism too.
No, I mean, you can be Catholic and be a Scientologist. You can be Jewish and be a Scientologist. But we're just Scientologists.
Katie, too.
Woo! Brainwashed.
All right. Well, what do you got with this week's DVDs, Bill?
All right. This is a large cross-section of DVDs. I'm going to start alphabetically because I've got a crap load. Starting with the 1987 production of 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, starring Brian Brown from FX fame.
FX, yeah.
Oh, hell yes.
My favorite being FX2.
And Taipan.
And Taipan. Michael Caine, who will do anything for money. Dempsey, pre-Dr. McDreamy. And Mia Sara, famous from Time Cop and Ferris Bueller's Day
Legend.
Off.
Ah.
And Legend.
Yeah.
Remember when she was hot?
Yeah, I think this is actually when she was hot, 1987.
She's got gray hair now. God.
I think this might have been pre-boob job, so...
She had a boob job?
Oh, please, it's obvious in Time
Well,
Cop.
Well, yeah, for you, because you look at that, but I don't.
They look like
Then take his
fruits.
Word on it.
If
Bill tells me somebody's had a boob job, I believe him.
Okay,
nope,
next.
I believe him.
Next film. This one got a little bit of buzz, but I have absolutely no interest in seeing it, because it's just another, you know, trendy bullshit indie film called 24 Hours on Craigslist. Where it covers all kinds of different people that sell things and themselves on Craigslist.
How rockin' is that?
What kind of a premise is that for a movie?
Great
I
movie
know.
Idea.
Yeah, it's 83. Well, I'll tell you this. They have over 4 hours of deleted scenes and bonus footage on the DVD.
Wow,
the movie itself, 83 minutes. So you could just imagine how entertaining those 4 hours are.
Oh, yeah. That's what they consider the boring parts, I guess.
And speaking of boring, Aeon Flux Special Collector's Edition.
Never saw it.
Ooh.
Was it bad?
Yes! I like it.
And you would have to like it if you were hopped up on cocaine.
Oh, it's that bad, huh?
Yeah, Aeon Flux is disastrous. It, you know what it is? It's basically Ultraviolet. I mean, it is. It's Ultraviolet. Yeah. What else do we got here? All right.
Silky Dirt, dude. Chunk Funk.
I would like to know what the hell he's thinking when he says Chunk Funk.
He doesn't think.
Oh, that's right.
He just says random stupid shit.
Yeah, I think it's direct. Boop,
so here's a shitty
Hello?
Independent. it's a shitty independent film called Andre the Butcher.
I've heard of that.
Yeah, it has Ron Jeremy in it.
Ooh. Oh,
that'd be good then.
Quite a thespian there.
But listen to this
Dick.
Premise. This is what made me literally. This is what made me pick it. When a group of cheerleaders are forced to venture deep into the backwoods of Florida, they soon discover they're not alone.
Watch
out for snakes. Two escaped convicts on a desperate bid for freedom take them hostage. Things really start to fall to pieces when the legendary killer Andre the Butcher, named for his former occupation, hones in on his prey. Now the butcher has two jobs, harvesting souls for hell and devouring the human remains of his victims.
That's very descriptive there.
No matter how you slice it, he's pure terror.
Nice.
So if you want to laugh your ass off, Netflix.
Oh my god!
But I have a feeling it's Chunk Funk.
Me too.
Here's American
Get
Dad
Volume 1,
the other cartoon by Seth MacFarlane that sucks. So
which one is that?
Buy it. American Dad Volume 1. So if you like Family Guy, don't watch American Dad.
Now, how come it's not as good?
It's boring and it sucks. It's just not funny.
It's hit and miss. It's always hit.
Wow, man, that's heavy.
Here's one that went straight to video. And I'm interested in it because I guess it's kind of a sequel to Bachelor Party. It's called Party Vegas. And it's got Cal Penn, who was in Van Wilder, and more recently Harold and Kumar Go White Castle. Yeah.
Does it have Adrian Zmed in it?
No, it doesn't.
Then I'm out, dude. I'm out.
He's busy on a limited.
But it does have Daniel Stern in it.
Ooh.
Wow, a cavalcade of stars.
Yeah, and it does have Jamie Presley in it, and I'm sure she's got to be nude in it. I mean, come on, Jamie Presley in movies, that equals nudity instantly.
I saw her on a Twilight Zone, or a new, I think it was Twilight Zone, where she was supposed to be some a digital date kind of thing, where guys go on there, it's like a virtual world, and she was supposed to be the temptress. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Dirty, filthy cyborg.
All right, here's our next DVD. This is for the, this is for the chick in all of us. Beaches, special edition.
Oh, Lord, don't even say that. I hated that movie.
What, you didn't like Bette Midler looking in the window at the end, crying?
Sucks.
Hi, bitch.
Here's another suck. Casanova, starring Heath Ledger.
Oh, I guess I forgot about that movie.
It came out sometime last year, directed by Lasse Hallström. And it didn't last long, and the only thing that I think I like about it is that it's got Oliver Platt and Lena Olin. So
Lena Olin, Sydney Bristow's mom.
Yeah, but Oliver Platt's always entertaining. I especially like him in Flatliners.
He is great in that.
Yeah.
He's great in everything he does. He had that, he had that TV show where he was a reporter that was really good, and it got canceled in a fortnight.
Yeah, I think it was because it was just too edgy.
But it wasn't as good as that cooking celebrity show.
Oh,
no.
Never. Nothing compares to that crap. I mean, that
all right.
Gold.
If he would have made a bologna sandwich, it would have been a hit.
We have been waiting for this DVD
Blade Runner for
close to, I think, 16 years.
Whoa.
Casualties of War Extended Cut. Brian De Palma has finally gone back into the archives and made an extended cut of Casualties of War.
You and I just need to maybe come to blows.
So, yeah, if you're into the boring filmmaking of Brian De Palma, go for it. I think the only good movie the man has ever made, it's got to be The Untouchables.
You know,
that's about it.
I always loved Brian De Palma, but the movie Snake Eyes made me so violently
angry.
That...
Oh, God.
When I saw that in the theater opening day, and I was sitting there going, what the fuck is going
it's
on
like,
here?
It's like, is Brian De Palma mad at me? What did I do?
It was like, one minute, it's a movie mystery. The next minute, there's a hurricane, and there's a boxing match, and there's a giant globe blowing down the walkway. And then I'm just like, what? Why? Who?
It's definitely self-indulgent, but man, that movie's a disaster.
It made no sense. But it had Carla Gugino.
Yeah.
It would have been terrific if she would have been naked, but she wasn't. So.
Oh, of course.
Right.
It's Carla Gugino.
Like my body.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Here's one that this is a movie for the fan of the kind of eccentric stuff. Crumb by Terry Zwigoff.
Woo.
And it's got Charles Crumb, Max and Crumb, Robert Crumb, you know, all that in it. It's a crazy movie. I don't know. Have any of you ever seen Crumb?
Yeah, I saw it in the theater.
Yeah, did we see it together?
Yeah,
it's an excellent documentary. Excellent. Yeah,
but it's got an audio commentary with Terry Zwigoff and Roger Ebert. Roger Ebert did one other commentary I know of, and that was on Dark City, and it was great. So I'm really looking forward to watching this again with the commentary from the director.
When he does a commentary, you know he really likes the movie.
yeah, it's obvious because he loved Dark City, and I got to say that was terrific. I got to give props to Kiefer on that one.
Drop
this
the gun.
One, if anyone remembers this one, I'll give them a cookie. 1981's Don't Go Near the Park.
I remember kissing the fan of the park.
It's one of the. it's a film that's like banned in like 30 countries. I don't. It's just.
I saw
Cannibal
Holocaust.
Got Leanna Quigley in it. It's like just a classic crazy.
Is she down under?
What?
I thought about making that joke, but I passed.
Yeah, it just didn't work. I mean,
I
know.
His mind. Everybody else got it.
Everyone loves Quigley Down Under, but that just...
Well, you don't have to get snippy.
Yeah, thank you for recording, Mr. Recording Guy.
But yeah, I mean, just listen to this. This is great. Who wouldn't want to watch this? Centers on two prehistoric cult members who abuse the secret of eternal youth by cannibalizing children of their own circle. When their lord exploits are discovered by the tribal queen, they are damned to an eternity of old age from which only random acts of gut-munching can be... Can being the fleeting what? Can being the fleeting appearances of youth, whatever that means.
Sounds like a keeper.
Flash forward to early 1980s Los Angeles, where the two lurk in a sprawling park, lying wait to commit the ultimate atrocity and recapture youths. The sacrifice of 16-year-old virgin who happens to be one of their own flesh and blood. So you know it's a crazy, kind of like Grindhouse movie.
Ah, what was that camera movie?
Huh. That's a great reaction, Vanessa.
Yeah. What was that movie with Tom Arnold where he and his wife...
Roseanne?
Well, no, right no. there, Tom Arnold, I have no idea.
I don't watch
the best
Tom
damn Arnold sports show ever?
Yeah.
So it had Randy Quaid and he and his wife...
Okay, I'm sold there.
Next. this movie...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I'm. It's just completely over my head.
I figured he knew movies, so that's what I was asking.
I don't watch anything with Tom Arnold in it.
Meeting's over.
Okay, this movie got a lot of buzz at Sundance.
All right.
Called Dwayne Hopwood with Dick Cavett, Judah Friedlander, Janine Garofalo, and David Schwimmer. About this down on his luck divorced father who works a night shift as a pit boss at Caesar's Palace in Atlantic City. And he, you know, it's just one of those depressing indie flicks, but it's supposed to be pretty good. Next. This is important. This is truly important because it's got one of the cutest girls that was on TV. Everything You Want with Shuri Appleby, if you remember her from the show called Roswell.
Woo!
Was the cute little brunette on Roswell?
Oh yeah, I remember her.
But you know, it's one of those typical. You
She's
know,
no Katherine Heigl though.
Oh please, no one's Katherine Heigl.
Oh my God!
All right, this one's for you, Jason. We've been talking about this for a while. Final Fantasy VII: Advent Children.
Ah, I've been waiting for that.
2 years after the events.
No,
the
he said this
Final
was
Fantasy
story
VII.
Was for me, Vanessa.
Oh, I'm sorry.
The ruins of Midgar stand as a testament to the sacrifices made in order to bring peace. However, the world will soon face a new menace. A mysterious illness is spreading fast. Old enemies are astir, and Cloud, who walked away from the life of a hero to live in solitude, must step...
Jason, since you know Final Fantasy, why did he walk away? Who is his arch nemesis?
Final Fantasy VII is the only Final Fantasy I ever played.
I have that. I have the original copy.
I have the original PC copy of it.
What other copy is there? Is there like a...
They made
another
one.
They've repressed it. Re-released it.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I have the original
People
one.
Are looking for it.
All right. Next DVD. Guys and Dolls Deluxe Edition. If you're a poofta and you like musicals
oh,
with
Lord.
Marlon Brando, Frank Sinatra, and Gene Simmons...
And admits it?
and admits it, go for it. Hey, you know what? Guys and Dolls was one of those ones that you always did in high school, and I think I'll always
you did
like
Guys and Dolls in high school?
I did, yeah.
You were in a musical?
Yeah. I was Nathan Detroit.
The guy was gay.
I was actually in a couple musicals.
Awesome. Were you in the King and I? What?
I never did the King and I.
Hey, you, get your damn hands off her.
Okay, Marty.
George.
Yeah, isn't it? George.
Yeah, George McFly.
Sorry, brain fart. Okay, this one's important to me because I watched this show religiously on Nickelodeon. Inspector Gadget, the original
series.
Oh,
yeah. I used to watch it.
Yeah, Don Adams did the voice.
Hello?
Is he still alive?
No, he's got to be dead.
Don Adams died.
The nude bomb got him.
But I'm sorry, 661 minutes of Inspector Gadget is like heaven to me.
Have you seen they redone it? They do have a
new
gadget.
And I saw it once, and I was like, no thank you.
Yeah, they did the voices differently and everything. I was like, what did they change it for?
Nah, that was Inspector Gadget was always... I always wanted the Inspector Gadget car. I thought that was so cool. This one, again, is for you, Jason, because I know you love your Law & Order.
Oh, thank you, Bill.
Law & Order, Trial by Jury, the complete series.
Oh, man, that was horrible.
Yeah, if you didn't catch it while it was on TV, you can catch it on DVD.
That show was canceled in Fortnite also. It was on Fridays.
I think it was because Lilith was in it.
You know, anything with Lilith is not a good move, but if you have...
Kelsey Grammer is the angel of death.
That's genius.
I'm there.
Wanted to do that so badly.
Here's a DVD for you film snobs, lovers of the Arctic Circle. This, I guess this got pretty good reviews from... people who are generally film snobs. So if you're a film snob, dig it, bro. Here's one. Match Point. Woody, I'll sleep with my stepdaughter, Alan, wrote and directed this one. I wonder if he has a part for Sun Yi in it.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants.
It's got a really gorgeous Scarlett Johansson in it, and it's supposed to be like a really cool mystery... With great acting. I haven't watched it yet, but I do have it, so I'll give you guys a tip on when I watch
it. Cool, yeah, let us know.
Damn, dude. Look at that chunk, dude.
Chunk funk.
You need to get, Bill, you need to get the new People magazine. It has Scarlett Johansson in a string bikini.
I saw that online, yeah.
She's got a beautiful body.
She really does. She really does. She's got a bit of a butter face, but incredible body.
A what face?
I think she's beautiful.
A butter face. Everything's good, butter face.
No, I totally disagree.
Okay, so I'm going to cover these ones really fast. I just want to get them out there. This is your double-dip horse shit that these studios are always doing. And now it's like they're releasing a new format with, you know, HD DVD, Blu-ray DVD, but they're still double-dipping this shit. The Patriot. Extended cut. If The Patriot wasn't a bad enough movie, they've got to release an extended cut of this crap.
It's even longer really than... How can that movie be any longer?
I know. It was so bad. And here's another extended cut. The Replacement Killers with... directed by Antoine Fuqua with Jürgen Prochnow and Mira Sorvino. And I think this is Chow Yun-Fat's first English-speaking movie.
Right.
So he's got this really horrible, broken English.
He's so hot, though.
I'm not even going to go there.
Oh, he's hot.
Okay, this one, let's go back to a couple episodes
ago. Screw judo, man.
That's what Vanessa wants to do.
With your 45 connection thing you have, Vanessa, with all your 45 collection. The Rifleman box set. So, includes 20 episode, 4-disc collection of The Rifleman. All right, here's one that actually got pretty good reviews. I haven't seen, but I'm looking forward to it. It's Shop Girl. Shop Girl was written as a novel by Steve Martin, and he wrote the screenplay and made it into a movie.
I wanted to see that.
Steve Martin, Claire Danes, and Jason Schwartzman. It's supposed to be very good. I think it's got a pretty good rating on Rotten Tomatoes. It's got a couple little extras, commentary with the director, and a feature called Evolution of a Novella, The Making of Shop Girl. So that might be interesting if you're a fan of Steve Martin especially.
Yeah.
Except for the Pink Panther.
Hey, that was genius. How dare
you know
you.
What? I saw the Pink Panther, and I
no,
will admit,
you didn't.
Yeah, I did. I saw the Pink Panther.
Did you? Did you pay to see it?
I did pay to see it.
No, no, you did not.
I did. I paid to see the Pink Panther, and I enjoyed it. It's definitely geared.
You're the one.
You're totally making this up.
No, 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 no. It's geared towards children. If you took 10-year-old to see this movie, they would be laughing their ass off. I mean, there's nothing funnier than being like 10 years old and then listen to Steve Martin in a bad French accent trying to pronounce hamburger. I did laugh, but it was funny. Oh, I saw it a while ago.
It got horrible reviews.
You know what? It got horrible reviews from people that are stuck up.
Vanessa, you're getting a good review of it right now.
I will say, if you have kids, they'll love it. You know, it's one of those movies that the parents can sit through and, you know, not completely be annoyed, and the kids will have a great time.
Bang Ladesh.
I got three DVDs left. This one, I watched the series, and I actually enjoyed it and didn't get to see the rest of it. Tommy Lee Goes to College. I think it was on NBC a while ago.
It was canceled in a fortnight.
Was it canceled in a fortnight?
Yes, it was.
See, I would love to see the rest of this, but I was laughing my ass off at the first two episodes.
What was the premise of the show that
Tommy Lee goes to college?
He goes to college.
Well, no, but I mean, what is it supposed to be? Like him in class?
Okay. Or? He goes to the University of Nebraska at Lincoln, Nebraska, and he goes to college. He takes classes. He joins the marching band. He, you know, he actually goes to college.
Well, that's great, Larry.
Sounds fascinating.
Well, it got canceled, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, the funniest thing was about it was that, you know, you got this rocker, and he goes to this college in the middle of the country, and he's just a complete fish out of water. He has no idea what's going on. He tries out for the marching band. He can't even drum because he's never had to do that sort of drumming in his life.
It made him
look really bad, and the drumming coach and all that just had absolutely no patience for him. But it was funny. I enjoyed what I saw of it, so I'm definitely going to Netflix it. This one got good reviews, but I was never really interested in seeing it. It's called Tristan and Isolde.
Tristan and Isolde, I think.
It was executive produced by Ridley Scott. Yeah, and it's supposed to be kind of a Romeo and Juliet type story set in, like, after the fall of Rome. But it looks interesting. I've heard it's got good reviews, so it's another Netflixer for people. And the last one, the last double dip, I think this one's like a triple dip. The Wedding Singer, totally awesome edition.
Yeah, ooh,
cool.
Got
major
and the
issues.
The only thing that's different from this one is that it's got 5 minutes of new footage and an all new sneak peek at the Broadway musical.
Whoa.
What?
They're making The Wedding Singer into a Broadway musical.
Oh man, that's awesome. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesomely horrible.
That's not the word I would use.
I mean, come on, I can understand moving out because there's just something great about the, you know, music of Billy Joel set to a, you know, kind of a musical. I could handle that. But The Wedding Singer?
Yeah, that's kind of a weird idea.
Dude, I'm so there.
It's your wedding day. Hello? Look at all you beautiful people. No.
Look at all of you wonderful people.
No, seriously, how does Jonathan deliver gold every week the way he does?
He is a gold mine. In fact,
he is. It's genius.
People should sift through his dung just to find nuggets of gold.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
All right, Bill, any more DVDs?
That is it. 27 DVDs covered in less than 20 minutes.
Oh, hell wow. Yes. You did fantastic, sir.
Well, I felt like getting more out there. Normally I pick 5, you know, maybe 10, But there was just so much craziness that I felt I owed it to the fans to know what's truly out there.
Well, thank you, Bill.
I'm sorry, the fan.
We appreciate that. All right, everybody. That's Norm Mulberry, episode 32. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed doing it. Yeah, that makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, there's something wrong with my mic. Wait.
Hello?
All right. There we go. So
yeah, that was a long way to go. Way to go in a short way to get there.
If you enjoyed this show as much as we think you did, call 1-206-202-3491 and leave a voicemail. Maybe you'll hear yourself echo back at you, much like happened on this show. You know, I want to get that out of the way right now. You may be listening to the show and there's times where you hear a reverb coming back, or that was our technical problems and we just ran with it. We had to do the show. We just went ahead and did it.
And if you want to blame anyone, blame Vanessa.
It's Vanessa's fault and her computer's
fault. It's all Vanessa's fault.
World hunger is my fault too.
Right.
It's all
and
Vonage fault.
Yeah, it's also global warming, Vanessa.
You know, all those Ethiopian orphans that haven't been adopted by Angelina Jolie yet.
Vanessa's fault. Vanessa's weather machine, hurricane.
She steals the rice. She's like an African warlord.
Yeah, Vanessa, just eat rice aroni. That's so bad. Also, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com and leave us an email.
And participate on the forums.
Yeah.
We've had a couple Friday night chats where everyone's like, hey, I'd love to talk to you after the show. You should have a chat then. And we're like, well, you know, we do have a forum.
Guess
if
what,
you got
guys?
Something to say, go there.
Vanessa was on the chat room last
night. That's right.
So was she really? I missed it.
If you want to talk to Vanessa for 5 minutes before she goes to bed, then go on there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was on there for 48.
Oh, stop it. I knew you'd totally do that.
You might even have cyber sex.
I'll go home and get your fucking shine box.
Yes. No, Vanessa, didn't you think it was cool talking to listeners? How cool was that?
Yeah, I got to meet Don and Marie and Credo.
Don Shep was on last night?
Yep.
Shout out to Don Shep.
Oh, hell yeah.
And Marie, who's going to have me on her show.
I don't think I've ever met Marie.
How do you know she's... Didn't you invite yourself on her show? Is that what happened?
No, not at all. We were talking about it, and I said, yeah, I'm pretty open. I've never had anything to hide. And she goes, oh, great, another co-host. So,
yeah, she...
That doesn't sound like an invitation, though.
Vanessa loves not hiding anything.
Well, anyway, it's a lot of fun, so join us on Friday Night Chats. It'll be rocking.
Friday Night Chats!
Steven was unfortunately stuck in an airport. His flight got messed up. So he'll be at the next one.
Well, barring accidents again from the plane, since I'll be flying back again Friday.
And if you've turned off the show because of all the Jonathan drops, I don't blame you.
Dick.
All right, guys. Yes, thanks for joining us.
Wonderful people. Hello?
Now this is podcasting.